Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. Well, good morning. We're thrilled that you are here today. As you can see, I am joined today by my lovely better half, my bride, Danielle. Why don't you welcome her to the stage? Yeah. All right. Hold on.
Thank you. Husbands,
that was your first tip. If you can ever get people to clap for your wife, do it. Always a good idea. Always works. Always scores big. So, yeah, she's up here with me today and next week because we're continuing this series of Picture Perfect Family. We've been talking about this universal desire, right, that I believe most of us, well, I said universal, so I believe we all have, of wanting a great family, right? Even if it's just the family we come from, the family we want in the future, we want it to be great. We want it to be close. We want it to be happy. We want to get along. Like, nobody desires dysfunction. You know, some of us kind of enjoy dysfunction, but we don't desire the dysfunction. And so what we've been doing for this series is we've kind of been diving into this idea of a family. And the really cool thing is that God has a very clear plan for families. God created families. God designed families for a reason. And so the point of this series is to help us figure out what God's plan is for our family so that we can begin to implement it, so that we can begin to experience the results God wants for us. And so we started the series asking a very basic question. When you close your eyes, when you picture your family, when you picture your future family, when you have your hopes, your dreams, your desires, we wanted you to ask this question: does your picture match God's picture? Does the picture in your mind match the picture on God's heart? Are you embracing His plan for families? Because if you're not, even when you achieve your picture, many of you have experienced this firsthand, it will not be as satisfying and as great as you imagined. And so you'll begin chasing a new picture. And what we want you to do is to chase God's picture. And so last week, we kind of picked up on that idea of what is God's picture. We started talking about things that needed to change, right? And we did not begin where you probably wanted to begin, because you wanted to begin with what your kids need to fix, what your spouse needs to fix, what your aunt and uncle needs to fix, what your parents need to fix. But Jesus says, hey, that's not the way change works. Jesus says, if change is what I want to see, that change must first begin in me. It starts with me. And so we began last week basically saying, hey, look, if you want to experience God's best for your life, if you want to experience God's picture, you have to invite Him into your life. You have to invite Him into your heart, and you have to begin to let Him change you from the inside out. And that change is what He will then use as the doorway to begin to change other people. So today and next week, we're talking about marriage and dating. Next week, we're going to talk about parenting and raising children. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the focus today is going to be on you. It's not going to be on your spouse. It's not going to be on what they're doing wrong and what they need to fix. It's going to be on you, because that is the way Jesus changes not only us, but changes families. So it's going to start with us.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm always told, we were telling our kids, the only person that you can change is you. And that last week's message that Trey talked about is really a foundational piece. So if you missed it, make sure you go back and watch it, because it's all about judgment. And that happens when you're dating, but when you're married especially, you can just get to that place where you only see the negative about your spouse.
What?
Yeah. So... And that is really...
What's negative about
no,
me?
No, we're not going to do that up here. Well, you know, we have the same
fight. We trust
fight.
These people.
I want to give you comfort. Oh, yeah. So, what we do. But no, I want to comfort some of you today if you're married. We have had the same fight for the same for 13 years of our marriage. Like, at the core, our fights are always at the same thing, you know? And last week's message talked really about...
It's exhausting.
I know. Y'all are going to get the real and the raw. And I love to be up here with Trey.
We didn't talk about that last service.
No, we
so.
Didn't. And it's so hard for him to sit in this chair. He's like this the whole time because he's squirming. He likes to walk. He's used to preaching. But, okay, where was I? Oh, yeah. So, marriage, last week's talk, judging each other, because that is Satan's goal. His goal is to try to get us to turn on each other, because then he has a pull at that generational change that we desire for our families. And we really have to do everything that we can to pull God in, invite Him into the middle of these relationships, and ask Him to help us change us, just us, and do His work through us to help our marriages. And even if you're dating and towards a serious relationship. So, you know, if you are married here today, if you're here today and you're married, you know how important your spouse is, either because you have a great spouse, they're fabulous, you can't imagine life without them, or you have a not so great spouse. Or maybe you're here and your spouse left and you feel that big void. You know, maybe you have never been married. Maybe you're younger, older students, you're looking for someone to date, or maybe you are looking again. Maybe you've been in a relationship before looking at this. This message today really is for everyone who's here. So we really hope that you can see how God works in all of this. And we really want you to know, if you're one of the relationships here today that's struggling and you feel like there is no hope, that Jesus is not surprised by where you are today. He's not taken aback by that. He's with you, and he's in it. And like Trey's been teaching in our messages, he's been saying that any family becomes a picture-perfect family when Jesus is at the center. That really is the foundation for this. Pull Jesus in to your heart and in the middle of your relationship, and you will see a change. We're going to talk practically today about how we attempt is the word. This is not perfection. And when we're going to teach about marriage, oh my gosh, we fight so much more. We got into a huge fight Friday night, didn't we?
Tell us about it.
No. I won't give you the details. But you're getting this from some people who really, we are normal people who just invite God in. And we're going to share with you how we see his truth really help us become the best couple that we can be. So...
yeah, I mean, we've done series on marriage. You know, I've taught for 5 weeks at a time. I mean, it's a complicated topic. So our goal today really is to just give you a tool, right? We just kind of want to very quickly give you a basic framework and how God sees marriage. And then we're going to give you some examples. We're going to give you some questions. We're going to give questions for you to ask if you are dating or if you're engaged. And then the questions change when you get married. They're different questions. So, but to really kind of jump off of this, we're gonna turn to God's Word. We're gonna specifically turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is a letter written by this guy named Paul. Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament, which tells a story of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, burial, and resurrection, and then the beginning of the church and the spread of Christianity. And Paul was an early adopter. He became a Christian pretty early on, and he was a pastor, and he would actually start churches. And then Paul would write letters to these churches and then to other churches to give them instructions. And the cool thing is that we believe that God was speaking through Paul when he wrote these letters. So we can read them almost 2,000 years later, and it's like God is speaking directly to us. And so in the book of Ephesians, in this letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul's giving instructions for how to live your life. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul speaks specifically about marriage. And you can really summarize his entire teaching into one word. And it's a word you love. It's a word you're going to be really excited about. So I'm kind of pumped about this. Because you can take all of Paul's teaching and you can take it down and you can summarize it with this word. Submission. Everybody's favorite thing. You love it, I love it, we all love it, right? So let's turn to Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If not, it'll be up on the screen. In Ephesians 5, verse 21, this is how Paul begins his conversation, his teaching to married couples. He says, submit to one another. Submit to one another. Now, when I say submit, when you hear submit, a lot of times we think of a bully. We think of someone who's going to overwhelm us and power us and force us to do something we don't want to do. When I was a kid, I grew up, I was a humongous fan of wrestling. Get over it. I loved it. I grew up in South Carolina. We didn't have much to do, right? And I was a Gamecock fan in the mid to late 80s. It was tough. So I clung to wrestling. It was awesome. And you know, when you think of submission, I think of a submission hold, right? I think of, you know, the nature boy, Ric Flair. Woo! You know? I got some fans out there.
No,
don't be all closet. Come on now. I know you're out there. Like, every time I went to a wrestling event, it was packed, people. So don't act like you don't like wrestling. But, right, you think of, like, I'm going to overwhelm you. You know, Ric Flair is going to do a figure four. I was trying to explain to Danny what that was. And she was like, should we demonstrate it? And I was like, no. I do not need pictures of me, like, trying to break your leg on stage. Like,
I don't know what he's talking about. So I'm like, sure, grab me. I don't know.
But that's the picture of submit, right? Being forced to do something you don't want to do against your will. And that doesn't sound appealing to anyone. But what Paul's really talking about isn't this thing of force. It's a choice. Like the way to really think of submit to one another is to use the word yield. You know how to yield. I know how to yield. We have yield signs. Yielding simply means I'm going to put aside what I want in this moment to do what's best for you. And really what Paul's saying is he's saying, hey, look, the key to a successful relationship, the key to a successful marriage is for both people to do all they can every day to do what is best and what is right for the other person rather than what is best and right for yourself. That's really what Paul is trying to say, is think about what's best for them and do that, even if it's not what's best for you. And you may say, well, that seems like a lot to ask. Why should we do that? Paul answers, submit to one another. Why? Out of reverence for Christ. In other words, because that's exactly what Jesus did for you. He put aside his will, his wants, his desires. He came to earth, gave up divinity, became a human, allowed himself to be mocked, beaten, and murdered for you. And we know for a fact that the night before he did it, he asked his dad if he had to do it. So it wasn't like he was all excited about it. It wasn't like he had these great feelings of, oh, I just want to do it. No, he did what was best for us. And what Paul's saying is, that's your standard. That's what you should do. You should love each other and serve each other the same way Jesus has served you. Now, this is why we keep saying Jesus has to be at the center of your family, because if you're not receiving that love from Jesus and you're not understanding what Jesus did for you, you can't give it to anybody else. And so, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul continues, for wives, this means submit to your husband as to the Lord.
I should probably have read that one out loud instead of...
Submit to me. I'm going to read it. It literally says it right there.
I know.
And you're trying to correct me. No. This is the point where all the men are like, yes, I am glad we came. It was cold and rainy, but I knew Jesus had a word for me. And she is listening to this, and she can't leave. And it means I get to buy that new TV today because she's going to submit for it.
Just in time for the Super Bowl.
In time for the Super Bowl. Yeah. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, remember, Paul began this talking about mutual submission. He said, submit to one another. So he's talking to the women first, and he is saying, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. He continues, for a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. It's so funny. Last hour, I read that, and there was a student sitting right there, and she literally went, like, she did not like that at all.
Yeah, she wasn't having it.
No, it was fantastic. And I was like, take it up with Paul. I didn't write it. But that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, wives, you should submit because the husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He keeps going. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Like, that's what it says. Now, men, before you get too excited, before you start making your list of all the things she better submit to you on right now, let me explain what Paul has actually done here. For those of you in the room that would consider yourselves Christ followers, right, who would consider yourselves that Jesus came and he rescued you and you follow him in your life, let me give you another word for follow him with your life. You submit your life to Jesus. And the reason you do that is because you trust Jesus, because he earned your trust. He sacrificed himself for you. He performed the most loving act in history by giving his life for you on the cross. And so you're not afraid of being taken advantage of, which is the reason none of us want to submit in the first place. You're not afraid Jesus is going to take advantage of you because he has proven, he has put it into action, he has shown how much he loves you. He put you first. Before you knew him, before you knew anything about him, he loved you so much he sacrificed for you. So yes, Paul does say, women, submit to your husbands as the church does to Jesus. But let me show you what he compares the husband to. For you, he just said, submit like the church does to Jesus. Look what he says to the husbands. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Let me remind you what Jesus did. He sacrificed everything for the church. Every wish, every want, every hope, every desire he had, he put aside to do what was in the best interest of the church. So what Paul is saying is, yes, wives, submit. Husbands, submit. Love them like I love you. Now, that changes the game a little bit. At least it does for me, because Paul's not done. Paul continues. He says, he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Continue. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In other words, Jesus did what was absolutely best for us, not himself. Husbands, you must wake up every day, every decision you make, every action you take, every grunt, every roll of your eyes, everything you do, what Paul is saying should be and must be in the best interest of your spouse and not yourself. Now, there are women in here right now who have no problem submitting to Jesus because they trust Jesus. And I would bet, husbands, if you raised the bar and began to honor and serve and love your wives just as Jesus has honored and served and loved you, they would have absolutely no problem submitting to your leadership. And what Paul's trying to say is that's the way it works. It only works when each party is doing everything they can to serve and love and sacrifice and honor the other person. When you're trying to outgive each other and outlove each other and outhelp each other, and the way we do this is because we get what we quote unquote need, not from our spouse, but from Jesus, so that he can fill us, so that we can give all we can give. We can give what we need to give to them by getting what we need to get from him. Ooh, that rhymed.
You should have done that on like a point.
That's a point.
I know. I'm gonna have that one down.
I like that.
That's good.
Did y'all hear that? We give what we need to give to them by getting what we need to get from him. Bang!
He seriously does alliterations and rhymes.
I'm glad
like,
y'all were in the second service,
because
first service didn't get that.
No, they didn't.
They didn't get that.
Nope. Yeah, but no, Trey's right. And it's this mutual submission. You know, it's this both of you really trying to outgive and outlove each other. And that is incredibly hard to do. Not so much when you're dating. You know, you're still kind of all goo-goo-eyed and, oh, I love them. We're going to get to dating a little bit more in just a minute. But in marriage especially, you know, there's this tend to forget all the things that you fell in love with, right? And this submission, one of the things I feel like that really I see is the hardest part of this for me, which the yielding, the putting him first and everything, what really clouds that for me a lot, it has and does every single day, is that I forget that I need to accept that we are different, right? That we need to accept each other's differences. right? We are not the same person. We're not. You know what? In fact, Trey and I, seriously, because we've been in leadership, we get to take all those tests that tell you what you're good at and what you need to work on and all that kind of good stuff. We are always total opposite ends of the spectrum. Every test you can take, we are total opposites. He's strategically thinking. I am not so strategic in my thinking.
I'm very good at strategery.
Oh, yes. So he is really good at strategic thinking. I am not. He's a great planner. I don't plan well at all.
She's very kind.
You are kind. You are a kind person. You're a very just person. So sometimes that comes before the feely-feely stuff. So, yeah. So it's harder, you know. But see, honestly, those are things that I fell in love with him for. But over time, I forget. I forget to accept that we're different people. And that the things that he brings to this relationship, the things that I yield to and see as good, I forget that part. And the only way, please hear me on this, the only way it's ever changing in my heart or changing in my mind is whenever I bring God into that moment and ask God to remind me of that. Because not only should we accept each other's differences, we really should accept and celebrate each other's differences. It makes a huge difference in your relationship when you can do that.
And you don't celebrate by taking to social media to mock the differences. You don't celebrate by calling your girlfriend and saying, "Can you believe what my husband did today?" Differences. That is not the way to celebrate those differences.
No, it's not at all. And so, this is a great, I'll go ahead and jump into my example for this, a great example for this in our marriage right after Christmas, we have friends who, he's a banker at Anderson Brothers Bank, just a little advertisement there.
ABB.
He gave us these Yeti cups. And by the way, I thought, I'm so cynical about this kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, the hype. It's a cup. What difference does it make? Life-changing. I mean, Jesus and Yeti cups, life-changing, because I can make
Notice
my tea.
Notice I didn't make that list. Jesus, Yeti cup. Where's Trey? Below the Yeti cup, apparently.
No, not in priority.
And that was off the cup. We didn't write that, so...
But I can make my tea when I wake up in the morning, and it is warm until I get to work. So differences in us would be...
Yeah, it keeps hot things hot and cold things cold. Yeah.
Yes, I know, right?
It's a cooler.
But it really works, is what I'm trying to say. So for Trey, there's a little spout on the top. Trey has to have his spout...
You may can't see it. There's a logo right here.
Yes. He has to have his spout directly over the A, and like it all the time.
That's where it goes. Why would you put it anywhere else other than perfectly over... the logo.
Yeah, and we've had major discussions about this. Anyway, and that is a small picture into a vast train of thought. But I love you, baby. I love you. A lot of times I'll make us water for him, especially on mornings before he preaches and stuff like that. And so I always try to put the spout over the A. And I found myself one day really having to, like, choose. Do I get frustrated about having to put the spout over the A? Or, I mean, honestly, it's the Holy Spirit. He reminded me that spout over the A, that little tendency, is the reason we have money in the bank. Because he is a strategic planner, and so he takes great care of our family. You know, that spout over the A is the reason that we ever get to do any fun vacations or anything like that, because I don't even know how to book an airline ticket. He does all that kind of stuff, you know? So there's that celebrating. Now every time when I put his top on, I really do. I stop, I say a little prayer for him, and I remind myself, thank you, God, that you paired me with somebody who is the complete opposite of me. And while that can be difficult at times, there is such great things, I love you, to celebrate. About those differences, and to thank God for that, because left to my own devices, it would be a very different picture.
Yes, it would. Do not forget that.
Yes. Well, we don't have time today. This hour probably either, but
you can tell
no,
the story.
No,
it's funny.
No, I don't want to tell the story.
I'm not good at this, by the way. I'm not as
no,
good at
embracing
the differences. She loves to tell the story. We took our son on a trip last May, and while we were there, she's always cold, and she always wants to buy hot tea everywhere we go. And sometimes I find that a little frustrating.
Especially if we're running late.
Which we always are. Which, I don't like to be late. Look at my cup. Those things go together.
I know.
OCD is OCD in all forms.
Yeah. So anyway.
But no, it's a funny. I don't do it as well, but I am
Ashley,
learning.
He does.
Because honestly, her differences are why, you know, my children like me. Because they wouldn't. Because I would just say, get up, go to school, do these things. You are a robot and everything will be okay. And she's like, they have feelings. Those are things people have.
That is not true.
You've
this
had
morning,
them
I was
like
the
like you feel when Superman plays. They feel that way all the time. They have feelings. And so.
Yeah, so we're standing in the middle of New York and I'm begging him to stop to get tea. And I didn't realize how bad it frustrated him. And he's all frustrated. And I'm sitting there stomping. Literally, David Letterman had just done his last show. And I'm like stomping my feet. You should celebrate that I have these little quirks instead of complaining about them. So there you go.
And I did. I celebrated. I raised my hands. I did a little dance.
And he was very kind.
I didn't do any of those things.
Please go get some tea. You were right.
But guys, this is a big deal. This is a huge deal. Making this decision, because this is all part of submission. Making the decision to accept and celebrate the differences in your marriage is the difference between it turning back to the right direction and it continuing down the wrong direction.
And you have to ask God to help you do it.
Yeah. Only God can do this. But I guarantee you those differences, the things that drive you crazy, they also are tied to something that person does in the relationship that you wouldn't do, that rounds you out and makes you whole. So, we could talk about this forever. Like I said, we've done series on marriage. What we really wanted to do is I just want to give you some practical things you can start doing right now to really help you discern, especially we're going to start with if you're dating or if you're engaged. Because if you're dating or you're engaged, you still need to be asking the question, is this the right relationship for me? Right? Different questions if you're married. But if you are engaged, if you are dating each other, there's two questions I would really like you to begin asking. And this is going to be perfectly in line with submission and with Jesus and what Jesus would want for you. But these two questions will really help put into focus what you're supposed to be doing as you're dating and you're engaged. And the two questions are this. You need to be asking, can I submit to them? And will they submit to me? That's really the point of dating. Right, yeah, date somebody you're attracted to, date somebody you have chemistry with, all that stuff, that's important. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying submission is more important. If you cannot submit to them when you're dating, if you cannot put them first and their desires first, if you cannot celebrate their differences when you're dating, you will not be able to when you're married, so you need to break up. The next question is, will they submit to me? Right? Which means, are they willing to do the very same thing for me? Young ladies, single ladies out there, wherever, men, you seem to handle this fine. But ladies, if you're dating a man right now who will not submit to you, he will not put you first, he does not seek to serve you, it will not change when you get married, and you need to break up with him right now. I say it all the time. Take your phone out, text him right now. My pastor says we have to break up. And just do it. Just break up because you're just wasting your time. Right? That's the whole point. If you can't do it now, you won't be able to do it then. If they don't act in a way that makes you trust them now, they're not going to magically become more trustworthy when you get married. They're just not. If you're not willing to submit to them now because of behaviors they have or because of the way they treat you, that is not going to change, right? And so men, when you're dating, it is your job to submit to her, to put her first, and to also be somebody worthy that she's willing to trust you. And that means you have to take the lead in the relationship. You have to work to protect her. You have to protect her emotionally. You have to protect her physically. You have to draw boundaries so that you don't put yourself in situations you shouldn't be in. You have to make sure you're on the same page. Don't play games. Don't lead her on. Like if you ever find out you're in a relationship and it's clear she's more into it than you are, you need to gracefully bow out. Because you need to care about her and honor her more than you honor yourself. Now, I've told this story on the stage before, and people always love it. And so she makes me tell it every time we do this. But when we first started dating, you know, we started dating, and I mean, look at her. I was in quick. I was like, yeah, she's fantastic. I want her. I want to be with her, of course. And so, you know, we fell in love pretty quick. And, you know, we started saying the L word. We started saying, I love you. You know, I told her I loved her. She's like, she loved me back. And that's always a nice thing to hear. And so we started saying, you know, I love you. It's like, I love you. I love you too. And then, you know, because I'm a moron, after about 2 weeks of that, like, I would like hyperventilate every time we'd say, I love you. And I was like, man, this is going too fast.
You probably saw my bathroom counter and was like, I cannot live with that forever.
That's kind of true. And so, but anyway, like, I knew that I couldn't keep saying I love you. And so I like sat her down and I took it back. I was like, hey, we need to stop saying I love you because I'm not sure I do. And she didn't punch me in the face. Like, she stayed with me, and she's like, okay. And after about a month, you know, I kind of stopped being a moron, and I went back to her. I was like, hey, I'm sorry about that. I love you. I do love you. And she's like, you sure this time? I said, yeah, which you know, I deserved. But honestly, like, it's a funny story, but it was better for me to tell her the truth. It was more honoring to her than to continue saying it when I didn't mean it. It really was. And so, you know, those are the steps, men, when you're dating, even if you're engaged, like, if that doesn't come to you, if you don't want to serve them more than you, you need to ask some questions because you won't be able to submit to them in your marriage.
So. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was going to say for the women, there's a couple of things I wanted to, you know, like a kind of a list to make sure if you're looking to date, looking to be in a relationship that you are doing. Number one, don't ever date a guy who tells you he loves you and then takes him back.
She's right.
I mean, by the grace of God, it's worked out okay, but I should have been like, what? Right?
She should have run.
No. It's been fun to grow together. But yeah, really, truly, though, only date men that you would feel comfortable submitting to. Take time to get to know them. You know, don't swipe right. I can't imagine dating right now. So don't, whatever y'all do on all the social media or dating things.
Yeah, just
stop
that. Just stop it. Just stop it. Erase them. Just stop it.
Right. So only date men. Take time to get to know them. Only date them if you'd be comfortable yielding to them.
And one quick thing.
Accepting their differences.
If they haven't submitted their life to Jesus, they will never submit their life to you.
No, you can't do it by yourself.
Mm-mm. End it. End it. Do you hear me, teenagers? Do you hear me? End it right now. It's like, you're gone.
Yeah.
Here's why. And I've seen this enough. I don't know why. But especially young girls. I'm just going to look at you. You settle. Don't ever settle. The God of the universe loved you so much that he sent his son to sacrifice you. That's how valuable you are. Don't you dare ever settle for anything less than God's absolute best for your life because you deserve it. Don't you ever settle. Don't you, any of you ever settle. Don't settle. End of mini sermon.
It's hard for me to teach with him because I'm like, you're so good. Just do it. Just take it. But for ladies, only date men that you feel comfortable submitting to, that you can accept your differences. You know, you can accept their differences in movies. You cannot accept their differences in whether they have a relationship with Jesus or not. Those are deal breakers, right? So think about that when you're dating somebody. Don't date men. Only date men that love you like Jesus loves you, that they would put you first. And if you don't respect them, if you don't find them honoring while you're dating, then don't marry them. Because whatever little things you think bother you when you're dating, take out a magnifying glass and stick it on there, and that's what it looks like 10 years in, right? And
like
so,
what?
It's so true. I told you we've been having the same fight for 13 years at the core of it. So, but here's the thing. It's so fun. It is so worth it. Thoroughly, we are laughing up here because we want you guys to know that we struggle and rejoice in the same ways that you do. We're real people, but I love being married to him. I love doing my life with him. I love that he's worthy, that I can yield to him. He is an amazing husband. And I want that for you. And I want for you, while you're looking, to be thinking about that, not to think about the immediate and that, oh, just having someone will fix that. Think about what kind of person you want to be with, and that you feel like God would want you to be with.
So can I submit to them? Will they submit to me? As if you're dating or if you're engaged. If you are married, the questions flip. Here's the questions if you're married. Will I submit to them? Can they submit to me? Will I do it regardless of what they do? Do I trust Jesus enough to obey him? And will I wake up every day and submit to them? But Trey, you don't know what they did. Will I submit to them? And can they submit to me? Meaning, not only am I loving them like Jesus loves them, am I serving them, am I putting them first, am I living a life where it makes it easy for them to trust me? And it makes it easy for them to be willing to put me first. It makes it easy for them to trust that I'm not going to take advantage of them, that I'm not going to manipulate them, that I'm not going to do any of those things. Will I submit to them? Can they submit to me? Now, here's what I know. I know for some of you who are married, this entire time, all you've been thinking about is your spouse. And, oh, I'm so glad they're here. Or, oh, I wish they were here. Or how can I get this message online so they can watch it? The tendency is to focus on the other person. That is human nature. That is natural. But Jesus came to reverse human nature. He basically came to say, hey, look, all the things you think are going to work aren't going to work. I want you to follow me. And as we said last week, what Jesus says is, if change is what I want to see, that change must first begin in me. So my prayer for you is that you will really begin to ask yourself those questions. That you will say, will I submit to them? Can they submit to me? And that you will invite Jesus in to begin changing you and then moving through you to change the world around you. And the only way that's going to work is if you begin to build your life on Jesus. Is what we've been saying for the entire series. It's how we started the series, and it's where we are now. If we want our home to match God's heart, we first must make our heart God's home. That's where it starts. You have to trust Jesus enough to put your faith in him, that he can heal, that he can fix what's broken in your marriage. And it's not false hope. He gave you a picture of what he can do when he raised his son from the dead. It was a picture of his promise to you that he'll do the very same thing in your life. He can resurrect your marriage. He can bring it back to life. And you say, Trey, you don't get it. It's too far gone. It's too dead. Yes, so is Jesus. The resurrection is a picture of his power and a picture of his promise. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. I'm not saying you might need to take some steps in the meantime. For example, if there's actually abuse happening, your marriage can be healed while you are separated. You need to call the cops right now and forgive his butt while he's in jail. I said butt.
Yeah.
Don't tell my kids.
That's right.
That.
Don't tell our children. We're working on those words right now.
It's better than the alternative that I was thinking. So thank God for filters. Here's my challenge, everyone in the room. Try this. If you're dating, if you're engaged, if you're married, try it. Trust God enough to submit. Trust God enough to yield. Trust God enough to care more about the other person's needs and wants and desires than yours. Trust him to give you what you need so that you can serve them and give them all you need to give. And it really comes down to two questions. If you're dating, if you're engaged, can I submit to them? Will they submit to me? Can I do it? Are they a person worthy of submission? Are they willing to put my needs first? If you're married, it flips. Will I submit to them? Can they submit to me? Will I do it? Will I put them first? And am I living such a way that makes it easy for them to trust me? Will I submit to them? Can they submit to me? Begin praying this week. Begin asking those questions this week. If you really want to have fun, ask your spouse these questions. Have a conversation about them. If you're dating and you aren't comfortable having these conversations, that's probably a pretty good indication that the relationship isn't going where it should go. If you're engaged and you can't have these conversations, you should end the engagement until you can answer these questions well. Because as Paul teaches, marriage centers on submission. It centers on loving each other and doing for each other what is best in the very same way Jesus loved and did for us what is best. We must put our spouse first. And I know some of you think, but Trey, I don't feel that way anymore. Well, again, I'll remind you, Jesus in the garden begged his dad not to make him do what he was about to do. He did not feel like doing it either, but he did it. We always think that our actions will follow our emotions. That's not how it works. Emotion follows action. If you treat your spouse like they're special and like you think they're the greatest person in the world and you're going to serve them for a month, at the end of that month, you will feel like they are special and that they're the greatest person in the world. Emotion follows action. Just try it. Just put it to the test, because here's the deal. Next week, we're coming back up here and we're going to talk about parenting and talk about kids. And if you two aren't on the same team, they will eat you alive. I don't know why y'all are laughing. That is the most serious thing I've ever said from this stage.
They will tear you apart, though. I mean, they will.
They're animals.
They are precious, and we can't wait to share. But I will say, our children have been good. They must have been, like, wanting to make sure y'all were getting, like, front line.
Jesus wanted to make sure we had some really good illustrations.
Yes.
In the last month. Will I submit to them? Can they submit to me? Ask it and do whatever it takes to where in your heart you can say yes to both questions. And then trust God and watch what he does as he moves through you to transform the world around you. And before you know it, your family will begin to shift and change, and it'll be that picture-perfect family you always imagined, because your picture is matching God's picture. You're doing what he asks you to do. And then he is responsible for the results, and he's always been faithful. And he always will be faithful. All we have to do is trust and submit. Let me pray for you. God, we just love you so much. We thank you for how clear you are with us and how you teach us what it means to be united into one flesh. Father, I thank you that you loved us before we loved you, and that you submitted to us as an example of how we should submit to each other. Lord, today I pray you soften hearts. I pray you tear down walls of resentment and anger, Father, and you begin to heal marriages. You begin to heal broken relationships as we each seek not to get, but to give. As we each seek not to receive, but to pour out on each other the gracious love that you've given to us. Lord, give us practical ways today to put each other first, to serve each other, to do what's in the best interest of each other. And Lord, heal the broken marriages. Reignite the flame so that they can experience your plan for their life. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.